Those migrants who get apprehended, they often end up being deported. But before deportation, many spend time in detention centers. More than two-thirds of those centers are privately run. The Department of Homeland Security has contracts with several companies that run them. And yesterday, the World's Global Nation editor Monica Campbell went with several families to one detention center in Eloy, Arizona, on their weekly visit to their loved ones. So, Monica, how did your Sunday start?
Early in the morning, 5:45 a.m., I met about 10 people. We climbed into a white van, and we rolled down the freeway about an hour to the Eloy Detention Center. This is something these people do, families do, every Saturday or Sunday, and I was allowed to accompany them.
Right, and the driver has a license, but these other people, they're undocumented, and they don't have licenses, correct?
That's right. So there's a practical reason for this. The driver can go and drive and not worry about being pulled over and getting deported. The van is full of people who don't have papers here in the United States. And then there's also a sense of community. These are families and people who are together going through really difficult times. Every single person in this van represents a family being split by deportation or possible deportation.
So where is Eloy, Arizona's detention center? What does it look like?
Well, it's about an hour outside of Phoenix, Arizona. It's in the middle of the desert, the middle of nowhere. You approach it and it sort of comes up like it looks like a prison. And I sat next to one little boy. He's a seventh grader. And I asked him what it looked like, and he described it this way.
There's a lot of fence with electrical wires, and there's lots of cameras everywhere. And when you get inside, the waiting room is full, and you have to wait a really long time to get in.
Yeah, you have to wait a long time to get in the hot sun, right? How long were you out there?
Well, it's a series of rooms. It's an all-day process to visit somebody inside. First, you wait in line outside in this gated area, kind of like a cage. There's nothing over you. So it was about 96 degrees when we got there. You're out in the sun. There's no shade. At one point, it rained. Nothing to cover you. Then you go inside. There's another waiting room. You get a number. And then you go into another waiting room. And before you actually go inside this kind of large classroom where people sit down and have lunch together.
So who actually runs the Eloy Detention Center?
Corrections Corporation of America, which is a private contractor that DHS contracts out to run many detention centers in the United States. More than half, easily, of the detention centers in the United States are run by these private contractors.
And like any private subcontractor, they've got their own staff of privately hired corrections officers. It must be pretty regimented.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a place where people are inside waiting for their court date. The majority of the people in these detention centers are there for civil offenses. But if you just didn't know any of that and you walked up to this place, you would think, I'm visiting a prison. And that's exactly what it feels like when you go inside. You feel like a prisoner. You feel like you're visiting a prisoner. You take off your shoes. You go in there. You're stripped of everything. I couldn't take anything but my ID. And you can't take food in. It's a very high security situation.
So people would go in for 1 hour visits. You went in with one family. What was that like?
I went in with one family. They invited me to accompany them to have lunch. This is a really important meal. This is their weekly sit-down Sunday meal. And I went in with a family. They were going to visit their father, Miguel, who's spent most of his life in the United States. He's got two kids and his wife. We sat down, and you can't bring food in. So this room is lined with vending machines. So the kids, like everybody, just raids these vending machines. And they're expensive. I mean, think of like a vending machine in an airport. Mm. They're high priced. So everybody gets like chips and sandwiches, and there's a line at the microwave to heat up these kind of dodgy looking sandwiches. But what was extremely touching for me was to see this young boy, Sergio, the one who described the detention center when we were driving up. He opened the bag of Doritos, kind of like made a plate of it. He opened everything and sort of set the table for his father. And it was just extremely touching to see, you know, this is a 1 hour, very particularly special moment for these families. And they make the best of this time together. But it's the kind of food, it's the sort of atmosphere that, you know, nobody would really wish on any Sunday.
Why is Miguel in detention?
Well, he crossed the border illegally twice. And he was also pulled over here in Arizona for a traffic infraction. That's enough to get you in detention. It's not looking good. He doesn't have a lawyer. I mean, he did, but the lawyer didn't work. They spent a lot of money on lawyers, these families, and these are tough cases. And Arizona is a tough place to be detained. A lot of the judges here have a really high rate of rejecting people's claims. He's petitioning for asylum because he's from a part of Mexico where, you know, it's run by narcos. If he goes back there, you know, I bet everything he's going to come right back, not just because his family's here, but because it's a dangerous place to be and there's no work.
Unless you want to work for the cartels.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why he left in the first place.
So you're sitting around this table with this very modest Sunday supper. What are the conversations like? I mean, families who are visiting, dads and sons who might be deported back to their countries.
They don't talk about deportation. They don't talk about what is really hanging over the family, which is the very strong likelihood that everyone in this room having lunch together is probably going to be split up. That's not something anyone wants to talk about.
Yeah.
They want to talk about, you know, soccer practice. How is everyone doing in school? They don't want to talk about how dad's spending his time, you know, apart from this hour. It's depressing. What was striking was to see that at the end of this hour, they looked at each other right until they walked out of the room, you know, and that was the last time that mostly men that I saw in this room were going to see their family for another week.
You saw a lot yesterday, Monica. How did this affect you personally?
It was hard. I report on immigration in the United States full time. I report on Mexico. And when you're sitting in this room and you're seeing people just, you know, in this really kind of bleak environment with vending machines and crappy food, creating this intimate setting, trying to just have some normalcy in their lives, no matter how you think about immigration and what we should do about it in the United States, you can't see this and not think that there's got to be a different way.
The World's Global Nation editor, Monica Campbell, thanks very much for sharing this experience with us.
Thanks, Marco.